Chapter 52. Dan Stander sat at his desk and looked out over the car park in front of the mine hospital. He appeared to have aged 10 years since the previous evening. Dan envied his colleagues the detachment they could bring to their work. He had never been able to perfect the trick. He had just completed 41 examinations for issue of death certificates. For 15 years he had been a mine doctor, so he was accustomed to dealing with death in its more hideous forms. This, however, was the worst he had ever encountered. 41 of them, all victims of severe burning and massive explosion trauma. He felt washed out, exhausted with ugliness. He massaged his temples as he examined the tray of pathetic possessions that lay on the desk before him. This was the contents of the pockets of the man Delange. Extracting them from the scorched clothing had been a filthy business in itself. Cloth had burned into the flesh. The man had been wearing a cheap nylon shirt under his overalls. The fabric had melted in the heat and had become part of his blistered skin. There was a bunch of keys on a brass ring, a Joseph Rogers penknife with a bone handle, a Ronson cigarette lighter which had been clutched in the man's clawed and charred right hand, a Springbok skin wallet, and a loose envelope with one corner burned away. Dan had already passed on the effects of the Bantu victims to the agent of the Bantu recruiting agency, who would send them on to the men's families. Now he sighed with distaste and picked up the wallet. He opened it. In one compartment there were half a dozen postage stamps and 5 rands in notes. The other flap bulged with paper. Dan glanced through salesman cards, dry cleaning receipts, newspaper cuttings offering farms for sale, a folded page from the Farmers Weekly on the planning of a dairy herd, a JBS savings book. Dan opened the savings book and whistled when he saw the total. He fanned the remaining pages. There was a much-fingered envelope, unsealed and tucked behind the cardboard cover of the savings book. Dan opened it and pulled a face. It contained a selection of photographs of the type which one found offered for sale in the dock area of the Mozambique port of Lourenco Marx. It was for this type of material that Dan was searching. When the man's possessions were returned to his grieving relatives, Dan wanted to spare them this evidence of human frailty. He burned the photographs and the envelope in his ashtray, and then crushed the blackened sheets to powder before spilling it into his waste bin. He went across to the window and opened it to let the smell of smoke escape. He stood at the window and searched the car park for Joy's Alfa Romeo. She had not arrived as yet, and Dan returned to his desk. The remaining envelope caught his eye, and he picked it up. There was a smear of blood upon it, and the corner was burned away. Dan removed the 4 sheets of paper and spread them on the desk. Dear Johnny, when Pa died, you were still little, and I always reckoned you were more like my son, you know, than my brother. Well, Johnny, I reckon now I've got to tell you something. Dan read slowly, and he did not hear Joy come into the room. She stood at the door watching him, her expression fond, a small smile on her lips, shiny blonde hair hanging straight to her shoulders. Then she moved up quietly behind his chair and kissed his ear. Dan started and turned to face her. Darling, Joy said and kissed him on the mouth. What is so interesting that you ignore my arrival? Dan hesitated a moment before telling her. There was a man killed last night in a ghastly accident. This was in his pocket. He handed her the letter and she read it slowly. He was going to send this to his brother, she asked, and Dan nodded. The bitch, Joy whispered, and Dan looked surprised. Who? The girl. It's her fault, you know. Joy opened her purse and took out a tissue to dab her eyes. Damn it, now I'm messing my makeup. She sniffed and then went on. It would serve her right if you gave that letter to her husband. You mean I shouldn't give it to him? Dan asked. We have no right to play God. Haven't we? Asked Joy. And Dan watched quietly as she tore the letter to tiny shreds, screwed them into a ball, and then dropped them into the waste bin. You are wonderful, he said. Will you marry me? I've already answered that question, Dr. Stander. And she kissed him again.